Let me read for us our passage this evening from Matthew 26, verses 40 and 41. And he, being Jesus, came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." This is the word of the Lord. Pray with me. Even now, Lord, even now, be with us. Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? It's quite a piercing question, isn't it? You remember the occasion of Jesus being with his disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane before he was headed to the cross, and he asked his disciples to be with him in prayer, to join him in prayer, to pray by his side that even as he sweat those drops of blood, he would not be alone, but he would be with his disciples in prayer. But they were falling asleep. It was late. They were weary, the scripture says. And he comes back and finds them sleeping and asks Peter and all the disciples that piercing question, "Could you not watch with me 1 hour," meaning pray? It's a question that the Lord may have for you this evening as well. How is your prayer life these days? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? 5 minutes? 15 minutes? How sad it would be, think about this reality. How sad would it be if God, who was the supreme ruler of the universe, wanted to spend time with you more than you wanted to spend time with him? What if God, the supreme ruler of the universe, Yahweh himself, wanted to spend time with you more than you wanted to spend time with him? Even though he is the superior being and you are the inferior being. He is the father, you are the child. And we say it would be a tragedy, it would be sad, it would be a scandal if God wanted to spend time with you more than you wanted to spend time with him. And yet, is that not true? Is that not actually the case? That God loves you with a more pure love than you love him? That he seeks you more earnestly through his Son Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit than you seek him? It's scandalous because it shows us our sin, right? It shows us our human nature, that we are weak. The flesh is weak. The spirit may be willing, even in regenerate Christians. The spirit is willing. Now that you have tasted and seen that the Lord is good, you long to have that kind of prayer life, that kind of relationship with God where you are excited to spend time with your Heavenly Father. You are excited to worship with him in the prayers of the church. You're not just going, but you're excited about it. You're excited to pray with other believers. It is a passion of yours to steal away as the Lord Jesus did onto the mountain and spend hours in prayer, or to rise before dawn and to seek the Lord in the secret place. That is a great delight you have perhaps once known. And you knew the power of it. You knew what it did for your walk with the Lord and for your ministry and your love for others, even unlovable people. But if you've known that, you've spent some time with God and you're a bit along in the Christian life now, you've seen that go up and down, haven't you? And you've come to that realization that God pursues you more than you pursue God. God wants to spend time with you more than you want to spend time with God. And that scandal reveals the sin of our hearts, even a regenerate believer's heart. But it also does something else, a couple other things actually. First of all, it points us to His glory. His glory. And the credit goes to Him for the beauty of the gospel. What's the redemptive historical context of Gethsemane? Christ is headed to the cross, is He not? He is going to die for the sins of His people, including these disciples, including this moment of drowsiness and lack of prayer. He's going to do it all. He's going to say, from the cross, it is finished. The sins are paved for. He has now opened the way so that we can have a relationship with God, be forgiven of our sins, and have new life in relationship with Him, right? But isn't it very interesting that in the context of going to the cross, He was not going alone. He was bringing these men. He had invested in these 12 men. He had really invested in the three, and Peter was like His best friend. And He had asked His best friend, could you not watch with me 1 hour? He desired to have Peter's presence with Him in prayer. He didn't need Peter's prayers, but He wanted them. He didn't have to have His disciples or Peter around. He could have accomplished the cross by Himself. But He wanted to spend time with His disciples in the garden. He wanted them to pray with Him. And He was seeking their souls. This is one of the last very important lessons that He was trying to teach them. And He came to His disciples, and He found them sleeping. And He said to Peter, so could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He was teaching Peter about the spiritual battle and about the Christian life. And one of the most important lessons that He wanted to teach His disciples was about spending time with the Father in prayer. Let's take a step back and bring in some systematic theology. What is prayer? If you were raised in a Presbyterian church like I was, perhaps the catechism is coming to mind and you're thinking of supplications. It does a great job of, the Westminster Catechism does a great job of describing the elements of prayer. Prayer requests, asking for the forgiveness of your sins, thanksgiving. What it lacks a little bit is the total biblical picture of the essence of prayer. What is the essence of prayer? What is prayer at its heart? It's related to worship, right? Worship is also spending time in the presence of God. I would say the essence of prayer is quality time spent between a child of God and His Heavenly Father. How do we know that? The Lord's Prayer. When the disciples asked to be taught of prayer, Jesus gave them this gem that was a summary of what it meant to pray. And the first line that He wanted to teach them about was the statement, what? Our Father. Our Father. There was a story of a missionary who was training a new convert in Africa, and The woman who had been converted was learning the Lord's Prayer. He was beginning there and teaching her the Lord's Prayer. And he said the first line, "Our Father." She said, "Wait, our Father, if God is our Father in heaven, we have everything we need. I don't even need to hear the rest. I know it all now." It defined the relationship, right? You are his child, and he is your father. That's the first and most important aspect, is spending quality time with the Father. We've heard the Cat Stevens song about the father who's at first too busy for his son, spending time with him. He's out on the road. And then later on, the son grows up and becomes busy, and now all of a sudden doesn't have time for the father. Kind of a sad story, right? Maybe a little sappy, but at the same time, we would say, checks out. Kind of corresponds to reality, doesn't it? How sad that a son would not want to spend time with his father. And yet, do you want to spend time with your Heavenly Father who loves you, who cares about you more than you care about him? He loves you more than you love him. He is seeking your presence more than you are seeking his presence. And that doesn't just reveal your sin, it does, but it also shows you his glory in the gospel. Why? Because that's what it's all about. It's about the Lord Jesus coming to seek and to save that which was lost. He cares about you. He went to the cross for you. He came to save you when you were not yet born, let alone not yet interested in him at all. Yet he still reached out, didn't he? Even this evening, he cares about you. He wants to draw you into a deeper prayer life. He wants to spend time with you. The question I have for you is, do you want to spend time with him? Will you respond to that gospel love by saying to the question, could you watch with me 1 hour? Yes, Lord, I would love to do that. I would love to spend time with you. If your son came to you, or your father came to you and said, could we spend an hour of time together? How would you respond to that? How you would respond would depend on the nature of your relationship, wouldn't it? I hope it would be good. I hope your son would come to you and say, I'm just nearby. Let's spend an hour together over a lunch or a coffee. Absolutely, let's do it. Or your father said that to you, and you delight to spend time with your father. Would you spend that time with the Lord? I'm not just saying go out and pray for an hour. Yes, we'll talk about that more in just a minute, some habits and specifics. But do you even want that? Are you feeling the scandal and the call of God in the gospel that he wants to spend time with you? And even if it's true that he wants to spend time with you more than you want to spend time with him, I hope that in recognizing that, you can receive his love as greater than yours. You can receive his desire for you as greater than your desire for him. And then you can respond to it. And your prayer life actually can increase. And a lot of these problems that you're dealing with start to fade in the light of that relationship and that improved relationship. When you begin to go into the secret place with God and take that time with your Heavenly Father, you will notice a number of transformations that begin to happen in your life. Christ wants to spend time with you, first of all, in prayer, and not just 5 minutes. And second, Jesus wants you to spend time in prayer with others so that we may not fall into temptation. I did have the great joy during my time at Covenant College of joining in a prayer group that was started by some of the guys on this bench here. And we're nothing. It was a great joy because actually our ministry recently hired another Covenant College grad. And he was telling me about a prayer group that they had started on the campus as well. And I was so excited to hear about this prayer group. I just told him, "You're hired on the spot." You know, no, I didn't really say that, but it was a big positive. I knew this guy would love prayer, and we love prayer. And I learned a lot of what I know about prayer, not just from hearing a message about it or studying a textbook on prayer, but by doing it, by going into it. We had a prayer group we started on Thursday evenings where we started at 9, and at first it was simple. It was straightforward. We just said, let's pray for half an hour or an hour. And as time went out, we began to teach each other about prayer through experience. We would stay for hours and lose the sense of time. I had never experienced that before. I had never experienced that before. I had been converted for a number of years, but I had never experienced that. What it was like to lose the sense of time in prayer. And that's not the only factor, but it's one of the things that you begin to discover as you go deeper with the Lord into a life of prayer. People say, I struggle with falling asleep during prayer, or I struggle with what to say for more than 5 minutes. It is one of those things where it must be experimented with. Religion must be experimental, not just theoretical. Do you agree with that? Religion must be experimental, not just theoretical. And of course, if we have good theology, that's wonderful. That's a great start. I'm in seminaries in Africa. We're all about some good theology, okay? But theology without doxology, without that worship element, without that personal experience of the presence of the Lord, begins to get dry and can even backfire on you to where you don't see and experience the reality of what you're reading about. And therefore, there starts to be this drifting disconnect between your really good theology and a life that is lived apart from the presence of God. And that, my friends, is devastating. That feels really bad. And it leads to a lot of bad things in the Christian life. You can begin to go down pathways that you never thought that you would go down. Why? Because there's this growing disconnect between all the things that you know up here and what you are experiencing on Monday afternoon after a hard day. And what is your walk with the Lord like in that context? But we're blessed because we're not alone in this. God has given us other Christians to pray with. And I love it every chance you get to pray with the church. Not just praying prayer requests, that too. Not less than that, but more than that. Don't just pray prayer requests. Seek the presence of God. Seek Him. Worship Him. Go deeper with the Lord, both in your personal prayer life and with others. Blaise Pascal once said, in essence, the summary of all man's problems can be summed up as his inability to sit in a room alone. And what he meant in that context in the Pensees was his inability to sit in a room alone with God. And in the age of the smartphone, that distance has increased even more. It used to be the radio, now it's the smartphone, but you're never just alone, maybe. And even for a non-believer, it's actually not the fact that they're alone that makes them uncomfortable. It's the fact that when they're alone, they realize that God's presence is there and they don't like that. But even some non-believers, I mean, just go into a room, put your smartphone somewhere else and just sit there for 5 minutes. Just sit there for 5 minutes doing nothing. I challenge you. Does your spirit go to begin communing with God? Do your thoughts just wander off to something else, or you amuse yourself in some other way? Being alone with God. Someone once said the secret of the Christian life is praying in secret. Going into that place with the Lord. And spending time with Him. Anyways, we often spout statements like, oh, it's not about the amount of time you spend with God. I mean, you know, whether it's 5 minutes or 50 minutes, that doesn't matter. I mean, would your son believe that? If you were going to play baseball for 5 minutes or 50 minutes, would it matter to him? Would it matter to your daughter whether you were there during her piano recital for 5 minutes or for 50 minutes, the whole thing? Would it matter to them? Would it matter to your father if you said, yes, let's spend some time together this afternoon, Dad, and you just drop by, and 2 minutes into it, you took a phone call and said, I've got to go back to some work. We'll see you later. It's both quality and quantity of time. One is not more important than the other. Both are important. But what is it? What is the essence of your prayer life? What does it look like? Do you know how to pray? Do you spend time in prayer with the Lord every day? I can't lay out all the details and specifics for you tonight, but I hope to just give you a little challenge from the Lord. Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Could you try praying for an hour this week? Try it. But 30 minutes, hour and a half, seek the Lord while he may be found. Prayer will soon be sight in heaven. But this is the time where you can progress in your relationship with the Lord. And you may find that all the things you've been worrying about in your mind, all those anxieties that keep you awake at night, all the sins that you were just lusting and running after, and you know that they're wrong, but you can't change that desire on the spot, those inward things begin to change when you go deeper in your prayer life with the Lord. When you go into that, not only alone, yes, start there, praying in secret, but also with other believers. You get some other people around you, and you start praying powerfully together, I guarantee your relationship with your Father in heaven is going to increase. Prayer is one of the primary means of grace. For the Christian, when you discover that secret in the secret place with God, it begins to change everything. Wilberforce was a British politician who really began to find a deeper relationship with God even beyond all of his political career. And there's a beautiful prayer he wrote I'm going to read for you. O Lord, I know not what I am, but I flee to you for refuge. I surrender myself to you, trusting your precious promises, and against hope, believing in hope. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. So however cold and dull I am, yet waiting on the Lord, I trust I will in time renew my strength. Even now my heart seems to grow warmer. Oh, let me fall again to prayer and praise, and earnestly request from you fresh supplies of strength and grace. I have read too little of the Bible this week. Lord, give me spiritual understanding. Let me drink of the water of life. To you, O Lord, I fly for relief. Your promises are sure, and you will not turn away anyone who comes to you. Here is what I rely upon. By commanding us to grow in grace, you show us that we may. Oh, let me then rouse myself, Lord. Enable me to purify myself as you are pure. Let me be deeply humbled at the footstool of your throne. I bow before you and plead the atoning blood of Christ, humbly trusting in his promises of pardon and of grace. Lord, I cast my cares on you. Flee to you for relief. Savior of sinners, save me. Help, Lord. Watch over me. Guide me and guard me. Amen and amen. That's the prayer of a sinner who's growing in his prayer life. Are you growing in your prayer life even as a sinner? Are you calling out like the man I love in the Gospels? I do believe. Help thou my unbelief. I am trying to pray. I don't even know what to do, Lord. But I'm going to spend some time with you this evening. Help me Teach me to pray. Teach me to pray. You call out like the other disciples upon the Lord. What does that look like for you this week? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Try it. Try to spend 1 hour in the prayer closet. Understand the cost of the cross and how much he loved you. Meditate on how much he desired to be with you. And do not let it shame you in the sense of keeping you from his presence because you are ashamed in your sin, that you do not desire him as he desires you, that you do not desire to spend as much time as he desires to spend with you. Do not let it shame you, for the shame fell upon him. Receive the gift and let it change you. And say, yeah, my Father in heaven loves me so much that he sent the Lord Jesus to die for my sins and to open the way and to make it possible, not in heaven, but here on earth, to grow and to have this relationship with him. Take hold of that. You will reap so many benefits in the Christian life, in your ministry, in your church, from that simple act of seeking the Lord more fervently in prayer, spending more serious time with the Lord in prayer. One of my best friends is a Ugandan pastor that I have known for about 24 years now. We have also walked together. He's a Ugandan man. His name is Sam Kisembo. Sam is extraordinary. He has led many people to Christ. People have tried to shoot him, to kill him. He has had a lot of spiritual warfare episodes. But one practice of the man that I have always loved, it's his thing, it's not for everyone, but he wakes up at midnight and spends 2 hours in prayer. That was just his place that he found. It was his secret place. Find your own secret place. Maybe it's a nearby park outside of your office or your home, or a place where you walk the stroller and spend some time with the Lord while the kids play on the playground. Pray with others as well. Grab someone in church corporately, yes, but also grab one other person who wants to grow deeper in their prayer life and say, could we just pray together for 30 minutes, either on the phone, on Zoom, or in person, or just try to go deeper with them. Like the Lord was gathering his disciples, a prayer that's not just oriented around prayer requests, what is sometimes called an organ recital, but a prayer that really seeks the Lord and his kingdom. It puts those kingdom priorities first. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Receive that truth from the Garden of Gethsemane, that the Lord wants to spend time with you more than you do with him. But let that beautiful reality and that fervent love change you and challenge you and draw you deeper in your prayer life with the Lord this evening. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for sending the Lord Jesus. Thank you that he came to die for us, and he came to teach us, and he came to lead us into a relationship with the Father like he had, that they may be one even as you and I, Father, are one. He desired for us to have union with the Father, to be united to God again, to find that real relationship like Moses had, where God can speak to us in his word and we can speak back to him in prayer. It's a real working relationship. It is vibrant. It is a reality. It is the deepest reality of our lives and the most important relationship. May we orient our whole lives around prayer. And may this church be a church of prayer, Lord, that many wonderful things would flow out of that. Many missionaries would be sent out Many evangelists would be sent out onto the streets of Tacoma because of that. Deep discipleship and Bible ministries, teaching of youth and young people, children, men and women growing in their relationship with God in the Word and prayer because of the Spirit's power through prayer. Could you not watch with me 1 hour? We thank you for that challenge tonight, Lord, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.